Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned for a special message from Elder LaVon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Well, good evening, Rhema Remnant Radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns and host of Spirit Street Talk Radio, coming in briefly to give you an update. This is the last week of the month, and normally we would be, as of last month, we would be in two series that I have the privilege of teaching Divine Health, as well as practical ministry. Divine Health deals with the truth that God wills for us to live a healthy life. He has willed for us to have this type of lifestyle, as well as empowered us to have that type of lifestyle. And we deal with, in that series, the truth and the Word of God concerning us being healthy and whole and in peace and prosperous in every aspect of our lives and every aspect of what He has created us to be, spirit, soul, and body. Prosperity in the soul, prosperity in the mind, the will, and the emotions. Prosperity in the spirit, having vibrance, having a direct communion and connection with God consistently, and a power-packed, empowered prayer life. Prosperity in the body being whole, being free from sickness, being free from disease, being free from illness, even if there is any type of weapon that's formed against you. When it comes to sickness, you have a divine protection on your physical body to where it cannot stay. It may attack, but it cannot stay. The same thing with your soul, the same thing with your spirit, your finances, every aspect of your life. It is with the whole entire man. God's will for us to be in health deals with those areas, and we're talking about that and going to continue to talk about that for the next few months, the last week of every month. Now, this week, Dr. Breland, Elder Breland, will be coming on tonight in a few minutes. He will be speaking on a very dynamic message. You want to stay tuned and listen. Every preacher, every leader, every person who considers himself well-seasoned in the things of God, been in the things of God for some time, to serve in any aspect of ministry or any aspect of leadership or faith-based business, you want to listen tonight. Also, the second series that we deal with, each night of that last week, Tuesday and Thursday, we will be dealing with alternatives. Will alternate between the two series, Divine Health, as I just mentioned, and Practical Ministry, which deals with practicing ministry, the real the administration of ministry, the operation of ministry. What is practical ministry? We deal with that as well as how to operate in practical ministry, what questions to ask, what type of analysis to do when it comes to your staff, your operations, when it comes to you operating in the Spirit of God, the spiritual aspect. How accurate are you when it comes to your spiritual gifts? How much time are you allowing God to rejuvenate or to prune your gift? That is an aspect, that is a dynamic, that is a part of practical ministry. That's what we're talking about these last weeks. So you want to tune in every Tuesday and Thursday on here on Rhema Remnant Radio. And starting in May, we will be having Sundays again in Urban Glory Campaign's radio broadcast. In this new and improved Rhema Remnant Radio, we will have Sundays at 10 p.m., just as the other two nights, Tuesdays and Thursdays. So tell your colleagues in the gospel, colleagues in the gospel, your colleagues in faith-based business, every leader that you know, tell them about this broadcast that they need to tune in. If they can't tune in at 10 p.m. because they're going to need to be asleep because they're up early, or if they are going to be working and are not able to listen to my phone or internet, they can always go online at their convenience to blogtalkradio.com/Rhema Remnant. And Rhema, of course, spelled R-H-E-M-A-R-E-M-N-A-N-T. And they can go to the archive, yes, archives, filed, labeled, broadcast, and listen to each broadcast. So I'm going to hand the mic over to Elder Breland in just a moment. But stay tuned for the great broadcasts that are coming up, various series that will be presented for your empowerment, for your edification, to bless you, to edify you. In the next coming months, you know this is April, we're ending out April. May, we will continue with the series, the doctrinal series with Elder Breland, as well as in the last week, as I've just explained, the series that I have the privilege of being the instructor, the teacher, the one to express the message of God during this series. June will mark another month of continuing the series. July, we have a special live broadcast coming up, just as we did last year, dealing with music ministry. You want to have every person who aspires to work in music ministry, who already is operating in the ministry of music, who knows someone who either operates or wants to operate in the ministry of music, all of them want to listen. You want all of them to listen. Into this broadcast, we're going to talk about not only the theoretical aspect of music, but the divine or ministry aspect of music ministry, how to really operate in music ministry with the leading of the Spirit, when to start developing different aspects of the music department, knowing the timing of God, knowing when to initiate a mass choir. Shouldn't initiate a mass choir with two people. That's not a mass choir. That's a duo. And you work with what you have until God increases the membership of the church, operating in the vision of the church when it comes to the music ministry. A lot of times we just pick a bunch of songs because they're popular or because we like them, but we're not in line with what the vision and the mission of the ministry that we're at the time, assigned to at the time, under the leadership of. We claim that these pastors are our head or our covering, who we're dedicated to the ministry that they are over, but we don't submit the entire theme of the music ministry or media in any form, dance, drama, the arts, the digital arts, all of that. We don't submit it to the overall vision, overall mission of the church, and that's not of God. God's will is for all aspects of the church to be on one mind, on one accord, of a soundness and of one voice, one vision, major vision with many dynamics of that vision, of course, but under one mission that God has, that he has assigned for that church, everything aligning to it, every usher being aware and operating under the vision of that ministry, every musician, including the ones that you hire. A lot of times we hire people with a skill, but they don't have a will to be under the submission of the leadership there. They just do their job and go. They punch a clock. And that's not the way of the Lord. We'll look at Scripture and see how the musicians operate and how they were expected to in the Old Testament. The Levitical priests who were from birth ordained, assigned to work in music ministry, and how their lifestyle was a lifestyle of this ministry. It wasn't just something they did, but it was something that they were. So we will talk about that in July, and I can talk about that, as you can see. It's a passion of mine. I'm not going to go on and on about that, but you want to tune in July and have anyone who's interested in music ministry or in music ministry presently or has been for years to even listen to that broadcast. And stay tuned every broadcast night to hear what's coming up next. August, we're going to have some more broadcast variety coming in. September, October, November, we have some events coming up for ministers, so stay tuned for that. We have a special summit-like event coming up, a conference coming up for ministers. Stay tuned for that. And email us or contact us by phone to get detailed information as well and documentation that you can distribute to your ministry. We'll be glad to send that to you. So stay tuned for the things coming up. The Urban Glory Campaign, God is doing great things, and we are going to work along with him in those great things that he's doing. So I'm going to pass the mic finally over to Elder Breland. And stay tuned for the dynamic teaching that he's going to do tonight. We love you, care about you here, Urban Glory Campaigns. You can always contact us by phone, 641-715-3900, extension 661083 with any prayer requests, any concerns that you have. Just call us. You can also email us at urbanglorycampaigns@gmail.com. Visit us online at www.urbanglorycampaigns.webs.com and see all the upcoming events, see what information we have concerning our ministry and networking ministries along with us, and be blessed and join in with us.
Well, good evening. This is LaVon Brillen, founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and host of the Rhema Remnant Radio. You are in for a treat tonight. I'm coming on my usual night off, but I think the message that the Lord has given me is imperative for the ministers of the gospel in this dispensation. And so tonight you will want to have a notebook, and you will want to have a piece of paper to take that, and like I said, I always tell people to get a notebook for this broadcast anyway, because this broadcast is set to minister to the minister on a level where the ministers can attain continuity beyond just what you would get over the pulpit. And so I'm going to speak directly under the unction of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get the Holy Spirit to involve itself. And so if you're listening and you know other ministers that want to listen to this broadcast, I would encourage you to allow them to dial 646-595-4877. They can listen by phone, or they can log in onto our blog, talkradio.com/Rhema Remnant Radio. And you should get on, or you SWAT radio, either way, you can get on and listen to tonight. So, again, if you're listening by phone, encourage people to listen by phone, 646-595-4877. And I'm going to be teaching tonight on a very particular subject that I'm so excited about. The Holy Spirit dropped it in my conscious to really speak on this several months ago, but then he recently, very recently, gave me the okay and the go-ahead to really begin to open up a can of worms. Now, I'm not going to be able to finish all of what I have in one lesson, but I think this lesson will kind of capsule the progressive stages of this ministry being presented to you coming up in May, because in May we're going into a rapid collegiate study, in-depth study on doctrine, on discipline, and discipleship, and divine health. And so each of those subjects are very pertinent to ministers really existing in this new dispensation of grace. And so you're going to hear me talk about the dispensation of grace next year and divine authority. That's two powerful studies that is going to take up the entire year next year, because I really want to talk about, when I say dispensation, there's a lot behind it. Now, again, we're going to go to several scriptures tonight, and I'm going to kind of do it old school. You know, I'm giving you a taste of the new school, and so you may not be used to me teaching in that manner just yet. But tonight I'm going to do it old school, and we'll go through a couple of scriptures. So if you have your Bibles, you can write down the following scriptures on your notes, so that way you have them, so that way as I go through the notes, you won't get lost. But you'll have a list of scriptures, of all the scriptures that I'm going to go to, unless the Holy Spirit, now I may refer hundreds of scriptures. You know, when I teach, I even quote naturally hundreds of scriptures, because I study hundreds of scriptures. And the scripture says you don't study to show others, you study to show yourself. And as the more time you get into the Word of God, you're going to emit the truth of God in your communication through your natural dialect. So there are several scriptures that I'm going to go to. But tonight, I want you to highlight the following scriptures: Isaiah 54:14, Ephesians 4:14-24. And then I want you to remember Proverbs 12:19, Proverbs 16:3, Proverbs 24:3-7, Proverbs 25:5-7, Romans 10:10, Hebrews 5:13, Philippians 1:11, 1 Peter 2:24, 1 John 3:7, 2 Timothy 2:22. And then for the meat of the message, I want you to concentrate on Hebrews 13:8-5, 1 Corinthians 1:30, Romans 3:26, 2 Timothy 3:16, 2 Corinthians 11:15, and 2 Peter 2:5. And then I want you to place a priority. If you ever do a personal study on what I'm going to talk to you about, on understanding the book of Galatians and Romans. If you do not have an in-depth knowledge on Romans, And I'm going to actually add a third book to that. Actually, I'm going to add four books. I'm going to give you five. Okay? You need to have an established revelation on Galatians, Romans, Ephesians, Hebrews, and Proverbs. Again, Proverbs, I'm going to read it backwards. Hebrews, Galatians, Ephesians, and Romans. Those five books, you're going to have in-depth revelation to have confidence in articulating the truth that I'm going to teach you tonight. And so, with the help of the Holy Spirit and with the revelation of the Holy Spirit, the Lord prompted me to deal with in tonight's lesson being established in righteousness. Established in righteousness. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is the authority of your word, given under the unction of the Holy Spirit, that empowers me and affords me privilege to speak boldly the mysteries of the good news of the gospel of truth and the gospel of peace. Father, I ask for clear articulation of speech, continuity of subjectivity, in the revelatory phase, that your people will have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say, not to just anybody, but to the church, the pillar ground of truth. Father, I ask that you would speak directly through these lips of clay, truths and manifold wisdom that has been locked in the treasures of time. And Father, I thank you in advance and release and relinquish my rights to the Holy Spirit to clearly articulate your intentions. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the preparations of my study and my vocation, be acceptable in your sight. And then, Father, strengthen us all as we go and involve ourselves in this study of being established in righteousness. And you alone, Father, will get all praise, honor, and glory for the things that are accomplished and revealed. Several years ago, the Lord prompted me to really begin to dialogue on the revelation of a righteous conscience. As you begin to develop intimacy with the things of God and you come in union with the Holy Spirit and God and really embrace your sonship, there is a level and a realm of authority that is released in a constant state of righteousness. And one of the dilemmas in the dialogues among those who can coin themselves under the sect of faith is that they have not truly understood the power of righteousness. We have conditioned ourselves to conform to a consciousness that is built upon a revelation of Christ's redeeming power, but not his reforming power that translates us from out of darkness into a complete state of light. And in that light affords the privilege of righteousness. And righteousness must be studied and understood by the minister so they can become preachers of righteousness, that when people see them, that when people hear them, and that when people grasp truths from them, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead would resonate out of their voices and the articulation of the gospel, that it can transform the sinner's life and translate them into state of righteousness. Well, in order to translate someone in a state of righteousness, you must be established in righteousness. So there are several scriptures I have to go to in order to promote this particular teaching. And, of course, I went in previous lessons, and I encourage every minister who listens to this ministry on a regular basis to really grasp the instruction that the Lord gave me on the ministry Perfecting Institute. The Ministry Perfecting Institute deals with the purpose of the gifts, and not only the purpose of not only giving you an understanding on what the gifts are, but why they are placed in the body. And it offers six reasons outlined in Ephesians 4, which we'll go to today, but we won't read that section. But it deals with the first outline of Ephesians 4, and it gives you a detailed insight as to the purpose of these ministry gifts. However, there's a greater realm of revelation that the Lord is trying to tap us into, but we will not get into this, like I said at the beginning of this teaching, without a revelation on our sonship and on the finished work of the Lord Jesus, which affords us the confidence and the character needed to exist in his righteousness. And this is a teaching that is rare in the church. We have majored and mastered the doctrine that emphasizes the sin complex that demands reliance upon just initial salvation. But sanctification and justification and glorification all deal with this concept of a righteous consciousness that not only exists within the believer, but is active to the point, so much so that when they speak, the laws of righteousness transform their reality, that when they go about connecting with the brethren, reconciliation is truly possible because righteousness has not only cleansed them from the stains of sin, but it has renewed a sense of accomplishing the great conquering effect that Christ affords through his finished work. And so, again, these scriptures are not something that you're just going to get through just a mere lesson on it. However, I believe I can outline some of the emphasis on being established in righteousness, so that way when you minister the truth of God's word, the authority that is needed to exist in this earth realm will come about through your understanding. And so the scripture gives us a prophetic declaration and a affirmation directive. And we want to find out what they are. Isaiah 54:14. Very clearly, it states, "In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee." Now listen to this. "Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth the instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon, glory to God, that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that lies against thee in judgment, thou shalt be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." So this is a prophetic declaration that has been outlined and applicable to all those who are servants of the Lord. And we are not only servants, glory to God, but we are sons of the Most High God. So we have privileges. If his servants have a righteousness that where weapons can be formed will not prosper, then you as his very own child, embedded in you the seed of his character, the seed of his power, the seed of his authority, the seat of his authority, then there is no way that the righteousness, glory to God, that he has afforded through his word will not transform and transfigure your reality into the essence and the intent of his kingdom and his will. So Ephesians chapter 4, as you can see, I'm excited about this teaching. This is not taught in the church. Let's mature to senses of creating atmospheres conducive for righteousness. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14. This is the affirmation directive. Glory to God. It says this. Of course, you know the scripture deals with Ephesians 4. I told you in verses 6 through 12 or 13, we get the directives of the gifts, the purposes of the gifts. But in verse 14, after it says, so we all come into the unity of the faith, into the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning and craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the manifestation of the love of God causes this unity. The love of God is the core to this divine unity, that it causes us to supply needs for each other. And we don't follow and are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, so we have some things set in place. This I say therefore, verse 17, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And this is something that we need to understand and really grasp in the body of Christ. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the light of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So this is a mindset that keeps them embedded in ignorance. Glory to God. But there's a life of God that's revealed, glory to God, in the awakening of our consciousness. So we need to understand the importance of being established in righteousness. Keep reading. Verse 18. Verse 19, being in past filling, having given themselves over to lasciviousness, to all works of uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit. The spirit of your mind. So this is going to be a working of the Holy Spirit that establishes us in righteousness. Of course, verse 24 makes it clear. And that ye put on the new man which after God. Now listen to this. And this is what I want you to understand. The new man that is created after God, or that is after God, that goes after God, the new man is created. Not recreated, it is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And of course, it says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steal no more, and let him that labor with his hands, which is good, that he may have a good. That he may have to give him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication, and that communication is not just talking, but it's a conduct that in this language proceeds out of your mouth. But and of course, it's a conduct that demands things to produce fruit, which comes out of your mouth. Glory to God. And so there it says, but listen to this. But that which is good and used for the edifying, that it might minister what? Grace unto the hearer. So this is a divine language here. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed to the day of redemption. And so what we want to do in the first part of this evening is activate the law of fixation through the lens of righteousness. Activate the law of fixation through the lens of righteousness. And this is what I want to talk to you tonight about. This is one part of it, and we've got two other sections to go through. Because I'm giving you just an outline of this righteousness. But here, of course, you know, the new man is which is after God, is created in righteousness. This is what must be understood when people not only accept salvation, but when they go discipline themselves. The law of discipline or the law of discipleship is established in righteousness. Conduct that not only relies upon Christ, but is committed to carry out the convictions of Christ through their conduct, their commitment to the faith, and through their communication. Glory to God. And that's what I was trying to give emphasis on, of course, and I actually want to take it back. That communication in verse 29 is talking about verbal communication, but communication here, when it puts on the connotation corrupt, comes through a condition. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, in order for something to be corrupt, there has to be a condition that is ascribed from some source of action. And so we don't want to develop corrupt communication when it pertains to people achieving states of righteousness. And so the righteousness that is given of God, of course, is by faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The revelation of the word of God enables a person to attach to the things of God and promote the power of God that gives us the authority to exist in the presence of God. And so there is a challenge out there that causes us to activate things that keeps us affixed. Hey, if there's no absolute truth, ministers of the gospel, if there is no true appropriation to the things of the faith, no true appropriation of atonement and things like that, so essential doctrines that we must emphasize when we go to minister, you're not going to really be able to tell someone they can do all things through Christ that gives them the strength because you don't know. You really have not invented. So the core of righteousness is understanding redemption, a revelation of the authority of Christ, and then a reliance upon the Holy Spirit to give you clear instructions to exist as the redeemed. Amen. So there are five steps to this activating the law of fixation, which means, look, the law of fixation says when these things are placed in motion, there is no denial, there is no difference, there is no deference, there is no form of deviation when it comes to when these things are established. So, number one, you need to challenge the conscience to always resolve to righteousness. God does not work against himself. God is an all-holy God who cannot look on sin. So if he cannot look on sin and I want God to be involved, I must rid my life of sin. But I must develop the thinking and construct the psychology and everything that goes with being in a state of righteousness. And this is where teachings on being trusting in the Lord with all of our heart and leaning not to our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledging him. He gives direction for our path. That's a step-by-step plan to get this direction. Why? So that we can achieve a conscience of righteousness. And ministers of the gospel, you need to really learn the message of salvation. Not just to get you over the hump and make you free from the guilt of sin, but to cleanse your conscience from dead works so you can serve the living God. That's the transforming power of the message of Jesus. That's why Jesus had to not only come in his divinity and come in humanity in reality so that way he can transform not only reality but even our consciousness. He had to go through all of this. The plan of redemption, the revelation of redemption, is that not only did he redeem us or bring us back, but he also enabled us to exist in his authority, to exist in his nature. And so what I do is I rely on the information and the source of his word that affords me confidence to resolve to not have a sin consciousness. because we're sinner bound. Glory to God. The scripture says grace much more abound. So the power of grace, glory to God, then awakens us to higher forms, amen, of this righteous consciousness. How do I get this resolved? I get a revelation of redemption. I revisit the claims of our rights in Christ, and I resolve and resort to his divine authority. Number two, after I challenge the conscience to always resolve to righteousness, I create conducive environments for righteousness with a repentant heart through submission. What I do is I make an atmosphere where God can come in by a repentant state, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you in due time. No longer conform to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is a commitment that you make. You create a conducive environment for righteousness through a repentant heart. This is a commitment within the heart, within your life, to have actions that always make it easy for God to come in your midst and show you how to exist. Glory to God. And so thirdly, I must courageously control the flesh. And this is, hey, you cannot preach confidently in a state of righteousness when you have not covenanted with your eyes to not commit to fleshly acts that disdain and deter you from staying constant and complete in the presence of God. And so we must courageously control the flesh. A part of our privilege of operating in the authority of ministry is our courageousness to exist righteously. You have no business as a minister compromising and entering into compromising positions that cater toward your flesh. If you cannot courageously conquer the fleshly appetite that yield itself to lasciviousness and all manners of wickedness, then you cannot confidently stand before God's people and say that he has grace that is able to keep us from falling. And so there's a greater dimension and a greater level of faith that God affords the believer that enables and impacts us so that when it comes to situations and turbulent times, we can courageously control our flesh and not be sucker punched with sin. Because sin breeds death. But the gift of God is life and peace. And a lot of times the reasons why we have challenges with the flesh is because we do not accept the union that we have with Christ that can conquer all things. Reaffirm and reassert yourself with control. Self-control. That's a dynamic of the discipline that is needed to exist in true authority for this day. Because we have a counterfeit out there called influence. And influence is subject to the opinions of another. But authority, whether people like you or not, when God gives you authority to exist in his stead, glory to God, no devil in hell can stop you. No man can persecute you. No temptation can befall you or cause you to fall. Because you've been endowed with power from on high to achieve it on earth as it is in heaven. Glory to God. So this is another teaching. And this is what needs to be taught to preachers. Because apparently our theologies are so weak and so narrow that the transforming effect of the authority of Christ cannot penetrate the lifestyles of the congregants. And so they're looking at you, who barely developing self-control and compromising the true authenticity of the message of Christ and the gospel. The gospel is good news, not survival news, but good news. News that is able to transform your life. Glory to God. I got to go on. Fourthly, we have to capture an ear to be apt and alert to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We got to capture that ear to be apt. And how do we capture that ear? To him they have ears to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. In other words, we must be those people that always are pressing in. We develop our ear through our communication and our dialogue with God. The more and more we pray and the more and more we get into the face of God, the easier it is for us to truly say, hey, the Spirit is saying something right now. Be quiet. Let's listen to what the Spirit has to say to the church. To be led by the Spirit and not to be led by the flesh. So we have to capture the ear to be apt and alert to the promptings of the Holy Spirit so that we can hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And then fifthly, cast our cares. Casting our cares. Don't let the cares of this world conflict your purpose in ministry. We walk the straight and narrow, but we have the ability to walk the straight and narrow. We've been enabled. It is he that causes us to will and do his good pleasure. Cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. And allow the finished work of Christ to be evident in your character. Amen. The second part of this teaching, being established in righteousness, deals with validations that creates an established sense to divine confidence. Five primary keys to awakening the power of being established. See, I want you to understand what enables you to be established in righteousness. Not only just getting, you see, you can go to the concordance and get the scriptures on righteousness and find out all the scriptures of righteousness and attain just a doctrine, a teaching on it. But you need some revelation. Revelation will spark the information to have activation based on a willingness of obedience, to obey and comply to the will of God, the sovereignty of God. And most people, they're not willing to be righteous. And that's one of the things that I teach in the foundational teachings of the ministry. Do you have a willingness? Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the scripture says, shall be fed. You're not going to receive the divine food, the manna from heaven that God has ordained for your life if you don't hunger for it. The only person that can hunger or control that person's hunger is them. Are you hungry enough for righteousness? You want the wealth, but you don't want the righteousness. See, Abraham's willingness to obey God and Isaac's willingness to obey God and Jacob's willingness to obey God, all of them prompted a covenant that sparked on them just obeying what they heard God told them to do. Just like Noah in the ark. Glory to God. When Noah found out it was going to rain, God told him to build an ark, told him how to do it. He did what he said. It was obedience, complying to the sovereignty of God. A hunger that was in them to do what was not ordinary, which is simply to obey. That should be evident in our lives. That's what makes us truly stand out as the authorities in the church. Are you really an authority figure in the church? This righteousness must be established in your life. Established in righteousness. And so there are five primary keys to awakening the power of being established. Number one is truth. Proverbs 16:19. Truth. Truth. Amen. Truth. Simple as that. This is truth. Better it is to be an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud. So that was good, but that was the scripture I was supposed to go to. Go to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but the lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but but to the counselors of peace is joy. So look. Lying lips, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delights. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of a fool proclaimeth foolishness. So this is what we go after. Truth. Say truth. 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 Truth is the primary key to activating a law of establishment. When you want to get established, you want to exist in the realm of truth. And this is what, when you're counseling people and when you're ministering to people, you're going to find out they don't really want to exist in the law of truth. They want to be in their delusions. Now, and because the God of this world has blinded their mind, you got to pray that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they might know the hope of its calling to us to believe. If we believe, you get what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to take you to another scripture on belief, so I'll leave that alone, but I want you to understand that the being established is first going to command that laws of truth come forth. Number two, it's also going to command that there's a certain thought life or thoughts. Proverbs 16:3, and I want to actually also give you Proverbs 12:3-2, but I want to go to Proverbs 16:3. But listen to 12:3, because I want you to hear this. It says, a good man obtains the favor of the Lord, verse 2, but a man of wickedness deceives, devices will be condemned. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of righteousness shall not be moved. So being established in righteousness is the root to existing truly in the reality which God has ordained for your life, established in righteousness. So there's a certain thought life that comes out of awakening the power of being established. And this scripture, we know these scriptures. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy what? Thoughts shall be established. So when we commit to God, what happens? When we say, hey, God, we're going to do what you told us to do, what happens? We're established. It's a simple flip. And that's what I was teaching you in perception, the doctrinal perception, that when Peter and the other disciples that were with him at that time, well, actually they weren't disciples, but Peter and his fishermen were fishing and toiling all night and day for a catch. Same fish was in the same water. It was there all the time. God didn't have to command elements and create seeds of eggs to be fertilized, for fish to be developed, for them to get bursting nets that cause fish. No, the fish were there all right. It was the act of obedience to the word of God. The word of God transmitted through the authority of God, Jesus on the earth. And the same fish that were there then began to produce its purpose, which was to fill the net so that they could follow Jesus. They left everything that they had there. He was able to give it over to his businessmen to follow and do whatever Jesus said. And Jesus' ministry was very proof of the sake of obedience. It activated on obedience. So all they knew was when you can apply to the word of God, when you committed your words to the Lord, what? Your thoughts are established. Your thinking is elevated. Established thoughts are going to be based on a commitment of you giving all that you put your effort into to God. So these are the laws. The truth, going after the truth, and then your thought life. And then the third one, training. Training. Proverbs 24:3-7. I want you to understand training. Of course, you know, Proverbs, the whole book of Proverbs teaches you the primary thing that you should know to exist in life on earth, because you're ordained And this is what you got to understand. When Solomon was given the instructions from his father and mother, these instructions were given because he was ordained to reign in life. Now, of course, that fulfillment would come by the Lord Jesus Christ, and so there was a part of this instruction that's not fulfilled and truly possible until we're enabled with the power of the Holy Spirit, which was for see, Jesus said, if I don't go, the Comforter can't come. This power and this authority for you to instinctively grasp and know with all could not come. So Jesus' work was just as much ordered and see. He learned obedience through the things he suffered. He suffered death on the cross. Therefore, God so highly exalted that we gave him the name or the authority that was above every name, that at that name, the source of his authority, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he owns this thing. He owns it all. So if Jesus understood this, we understand, and then the third part is training. Proverbs 24. Verses 3-7. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is what? It is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with the precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, and yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counsel there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He that openeth his mouth is the gate. So listen to this. Your instruction and your training, which the purpose of training is to abstract wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Those and whatever you do, when the laws of wisdom and knowledge and understanding are activated, training takes place. So training here, then look. It says, by wisdom a house is established by understanding. It's established by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it's established. And then it says knowledge causes it to be filled with precious riches. Look, a wise man will increase in learning. And through knowledge, it's going to make itself so that way if something comes against it, it's going to be affirmed. Why? Because training has caused, see, when you embrace training, true training, this establishment takes place. Why? Training goes after truth. Training goes after your thought life, developing the thought life, developing your thinking. And then training is based on you committing yourself to abstract wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that enables you to fourthly trust. Of course, I can give you Proverbs 6:4, if you want, but I want to give you Proverbs 25, and let's read 5-7. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For it is better that it is to be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. So in other words, look, you got to trust God. When you want to be established in life, you go after truth, you go after thought life, and you develop training. But ultimately, this is going to be a trust factor between you and God. See, because you all want to go, and the trust factor deals with timing and authority. Timing, authority. And, of course, you know, placing is there. Of course, you know, the time is in the Lord's hand. Lord, teach us the number of days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Yeah, but in all of this, this is a trust factor with God. So when you're developing being established, you not only think about it, you not only develop, go after truth, and you not only get training, but you learn to trust God. to lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him so he can direct your path. And then, and only then when trust is developed, fifthly, then you take actions. You take actions through belief. You take actions through belief. Of course, you can go to Hebrews 11, but Romans 10:10 kind of helps us understand this. And we say this, of course, you know, Romans 10:9-10 is the plan of salvation. Roman road. And turn there right quick. I want you to see this for yourselves, because we're talking about being established in righteousness. And tonight, the Holy Spirit wants us to understand that it is imperative for us to really revisit this claim. In this era, we need to be established in righteousness, because that's going to be our security, divinely, divine security, to really obtaining the things of God so that we can exist in the authority of God. Amen. So Romans, of course, is a letter to the church in Rome. Also, in that area in Rome at this time, the empire was being established. The Roman Empire was coming into power. And so this letter to the church and this elaborate discussion and dialogue on righteousness and reliance upon Christ and reigning in laws and things. Hebrews is a good legal book, really to learn the defense of the gospel and to learn how to defend the faith. These scriptures, these two books, Romans and Hebrews, kind of help you find out the gist of the gospel. But in Romans 10:10. We said, look, let's just back up to 9. Let's go ahead and read the plan of salvation. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, but it don't only just believe it, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, right? And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here is a process. This is an action step that is activated through the power of belief. And so when we take action steps through belief, then there is a righteousness that comes forth. You see this in the life of Abraham. You see this in the life of Isaac. You see this in the life of Jacob. You see this in the forefathers. Of course, that is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see this in Noah. You see this in the 12 judges, the 16 judges, actually, in their compliance of obedience. This was their factor. They were taking actions based on what they believed they heard from God. As a result of them taking actions, what? There was a righteousness that was revealed. God was able to protect them. God was able to work with them. God was able to supply their needs. Why? Because belief or their actions were made righteous. And you have been made righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are primary tools to awakening the power of being established: truth, thoughts, training, trust, and taking actions through belief. Amen. Now, for further studies, you want to read Hebrews 5:13. Now, of course, you know, it says solid food is for the mature. But it says by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone else to teach you the very oracles of God, the elementary teachings, the NIV says in Hebrews 6. Let us leave those teachings, the elementary teachings about Christ, and go on to perfection or maturity, as been stated. But in Hebrews 5, it says by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the things, because you're not acquainted with the doctrine of righteousness. And so righteousness has an element of teaching that goes with it. And that's why I gave you the five books: Ephesians, Galatians, Romans, Proverbs, and I believe I said Hebrews, Galatians, Romans, Ephesians, and Proverbs. Amen. Those books will help you understand the work that it took to achieve a state of righteousness, especially Romans, especially Hebrews. You know, and Ephesians is the Magna Carta of the church, of the New Testament. It gives us a letter of love that shows us who we are in Christ, and we read that it affirms us that God has created the new man in righteousness. So we must be established in righteousness. Amen. Now let's get to the meat of this lesson. And give distinction to manifesting qualities of being established in righteousness. Being established in righteousness. When you begin to rely upon the authority of Christ, and again, remember, look, when you see these processes, when you begin to disciple people under the authority of the Holy Spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to challenge their conscience to always resolve to righteousness, create a conducive environment for righteousness with a repentant heart through submission, saying, I'm going to obey, and then courageously control the flesh. And then you're going to catch the ear to be alert and after the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You're going to cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. See, that's what I'm saying. These all are things that will keep you in a consistent flow of righteousness. And there's some revelations that we'll get more into this. I think I'm going to come back to this Thursday and give you some other factors, because this teaching must be taught. So we understand in Hebrews 5:13 that they're not acquainted with the doctrine of righteousness. The lack of acquaintance to the doctrine of righteousness will keep them stuck into immaturity. And immaturity has no foundation. They're shaky. The word of God cannot take effect because it's not mixed with faith. Faith acts on what it believes. Amen. So we got to be established in righteousness. You want to also know Philippians 1:11 and 1 Peter 2:24, 1 John 3:7, and 2 Timothy 2:22. Okay. So let me give you this and conclude for tonight, because I'm doing a lot of meat. For tonight. And of course, I want you to always know Romans 3:26. And we'll go to that. Special note on that. And 2 Corinthians 5:21. John 6:47, 2 Corinthians 5:17, John 6:47. And of course 2 Corinthians 2:14-15. Glory to God. So we got to embrace this doctrine of righteousness. We got to understand this doctrine of righteousness. And then we need to find these manifesting qualities of being established in righteousness. Number one, and I've hinted to this throughout the night, but I really want to hit it home, and that is, this manifestation is going to occur when there's a heart that is established in the grace of God. A heart that is established in the grace of God. Hebrews 13:8-15. Now, of course, it starts off with a revelation. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. That's a revelation. If you know that he's the same, it says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is good. It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, wherefore they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacles. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood was brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are buried without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer sacrifices of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen. So what it's dealing with here is a heart that is established in the grace of God. God's ability to perform through his power for his task and his will. God's ability. Our hearts must be established in God's ability. Well, we already told you what the keys were. We need to go to God for truth, for thoughts, for training, for trust, and for taking action. If you learn to establish yourself in the grace of God, for those things, for truth, for thinking, for training, for trust, and for taking actions, you will be able to offer things on behalf of God through his power and his ability that affords you righteousness. This is being established in righteousness, a heart that is established in the authority of his grace. Number two, a revelation of our sonship, which unlocks the qualities of godliness. A revelation of our sonship. You know, I can teach a lot on sonship. I was taught at a very young age the truth concerning sonship, and I think that's an element that takes our relationship from a appreciation to really a manifestation. If you don't know who you are and why you are, you won't have confidence to do what God has called you to do. So those elements are primary, and for some reason the church doesn't teach on this like we should. But God is raising up a remnant of people who are acquainted with this revelation of their sonship. Amen. And I could talk a lot about him. Now listen to this. Of course, let's back up to verse 22 and read down to 30. I want you to hear this because I want you to capture the revelation of our sonship. Well, let's go back up to course, you know, the argument, let me give you a little background on this particular teaching. The argument on the issue that he's addressing is people having problems with baptisms and things like that. And he said, look, I think I ain't baptized none of y'all. And he baptized Cyprus and Gaius. That way you wouldn't ascribe credit to your transformation through him, but through the power of God. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them perishing foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many be wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of this world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things hath and which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So what is this? This is the manifestation of our sonship. It's the revelation of our sonship. This is the foolishness being confounded to the wise, the revelation of our sonship. That when we glory, excel, or display his radiance, is based on him. He has been made unto us righteousness, wisdom, sanctification, and redemption. What is that? All qualities which reflects the reality of godliness, which is the revelation of our sonship. So this established heart, establishing the grace of God, affords us the revelation of our sonship, which allots the qualities of godliness, and thirdly, the reliance upon the power that enables us to live by faith and not by sight. Tell me the Romans 3. Hallelujah. I pray that this study is helping you. It's just adding fuel to the flame of my engine to continue to promote this teaching of righteousness, being established in righteousness. Come on, let's grow up and develop a church and a people that are established in righteousness, that don't find it that hard to live right, to please God, to comply to his directives and his commands. Not that complicated. Amen. Romans 3:26. Amen. I say at the time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Of course, it says, you can back up. Of course, this is the claim of the law, back up to verse 20. Therefore, by deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So this is why we need to understand the reliance upon the power that enables us to live by faith and not by sight. But listen to this. By the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnesses by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth as appropriation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sin that are past, to the forbearance, bearing God, of God, to declare, I say, at the time of righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So when we rely upon existing in faith and not by sight, we're justified to exist in righteousness. This is the revelation of righteousness, or this is the revelation of what Jesus did of redemption that affords us the reality of righteousness that enables us to live by faith and not by sight. This is the faith at work, righteousness achieved. Faith at work is righteousness achieved. So there's a revelation, a heart that is established by the grace of God, a revelation of our sonship which allows the qualities of godliness, a reliance upon the power of God that enables us to live by faith and not by sight. And fourthly, the compliance to be instructed in righteousness. Now this is why instruction in righteousness produces doctrines of righteousness which acquaints us to what is needed to be perfected. Perfected or mature. So turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. For the instructions of righteousness will come from the source of righteousness, which is the Word of God. And we need to be established in the Word of God in order to affirm others to exist in the authority of God. So, of course, you know, the qualifications of a bishop and a deacon are outlined in this particular chapter. But let's look at verse 16. And, of course, I love verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of God, the living God, the pillar ground of truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, which is God is manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached among you, unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up into glory. This is also the compliance to being instructed in righteousness. Righteousness affords the manifestation of godliness, justifying you through faith to exist in the revelation of your sonship. When you have the revelation of your sonship, you will know that the grace of God is evident, so you can confidently attain perfection or maturity. And so, 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, received of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received up into glory. Now the spirit speaks expressly that the latter day, and sometimes some will depart from the faith and its seducing spirits, doctrines of the of devils. And of course, it tells you how, you know, some people are cursed, forbidden to marry, commanded to abstain from certain meats, which God has created with thanksgiving to of them which believe and know the truth. And so here, where we can apply to be instructed in righteousness, where we can apply to be instructed in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So here is this outline, and I was actually reading 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I read very good a passage that's kind of linked us up. Of course, the qualifications of our office demand that we learn how to behave ourselves in the church of God. The age that's also is a commitment, but this is our compliance. This is a form of our compliance to be instructed in righteousness. Why? Because we got the Word of God. The Word of God, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. So the inspiration of God affords us the profit that comes out of doctrine and causes us to be corrected for reproof to make sure that we can prove what we know. But this all occurs in the instruction of righteousness. And as a result, we will attain perfection, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16, a compliance to being instructed in righteousness. And fifthly, the spiritual transformation. Now, this is going to take a little bit of time to really get into, and we'll pick this up next week. But a spiritual transformation for the ministry's sake. For the ministry's sake. These are manifesting qualities of being established in righteousness. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your assistance tonight. I really appreciate you in unfolding the wisdom that's in your word concerning being established in righteousness. And this not only will be a manner of revelation, but, Lord, you will afford applicable steps to those who proclaim the sacred vocation of this precious ministry, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the world, so that the way the body of Christ can be extended and added as such should be saved. Father, we praise you and we give you glory for it in the name of Jesus. So look, let's go to 2 Corinthians, and I'll read you the scripture and I'll leave it for us for our next lesson. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Of course, you know, Paul makes a very profound statement. He's dealing with issues. Of course, you know, the First Corinthians, he gave some answers to some conflicts that he was addressing. People got upset at him. And about 3 months later, he had to write another response, kind of giving explanation to why he was so bold in his speech and writing. And then when they see him, it almost seemed like he was almost humble. But, you know, when he was addressing these issues, it was very important for him to come at the Corinthian church, because the Corinthian church was arrogant. Okay, these people had, the church of Corinth was very lascivious, full of lust. They had all types of things going on, people sleeping with all kinds of things. Lust was on the rampant. People were acting all types of the food they had. Improper and unhealthy teaching and understanding on how to operate in the Holy Spirit. And so you have people doing all kinds of things in the church. And so there need to be some correction. And Paul is really letting them know, hey, y'all are messed up. You're messed up. And so there needs to be a transformation. And he said, look, I done burdened you. I want you to... He said, look, I robbed other churches, verse 8 in chapter 11. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. So he's letting them know, look, hey, I'm coming to you. He said, would it to God, would to God he could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So here, look, he's like, look, y'all upset at me because I done told y'all off in that first letter. But look, I done robbed other churches to serve you, to do you something justice, but I want you to go to verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. So in other words, look, the transformation, first of all, unless you understand that when you actually exist and are established in righteousness, transformations take place. Can you get that understanding? He's giving, look, a basis for him being so confident and so strong, because they thought he was arrogant. They thought he lost his mind when he addressed them that, hey, I couldn't even talk to you as spiritual man because you're still comparing yourself, whether you under Paul or Apollos, and yeah, all these things going on. Y'all got gifts operating all kind of kelter-skelter. And so, you know, when he started dealing with the issues, you know, they said, oh, this man is arrogant. He's absurd. How dare he speak to us in this manner? You would think so, too. If, you know, you got a letter from a person that was at a distance commanding instructions from your church under the unction of the Holy Spirit and setting things in order. People are not appreciative of this change. But they say, hey, look, I'm not changing up my speech for your unwillingness to comply and resolve to a righteous consciousness. Okay, you're going to know by the time I finish working what I'm working, glory to God, that the ministry that I have has transformed me into divine righteousness. And that's the attitude that is going to propel us into existing in true authority on God's behalf. I submit to you tonight that a lot of the dilemmas and conflicts that we have in ministry is as a result of us not being established in righteousness. And we must take courageous steps to exist in this state. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 5, I want you to go there. Now, Peter, you know, Peter has attained some wisdom by the time he wrote his second epistle. And of course, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according to the divine power given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But listen how it's attained through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue. Why? Because we have a ministry that has spiritually transformed us. Whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your what? Add to your faith, virtue, and virtue to knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance unto temperance, patience unto patience, godliness unto godliness, brotherly kindness unto brotherly kindness, love or charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see what? Afar off, and hath forgotten that which is purged, that he was purged from, listen to this, his own sins. So here, but listen to this, verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not neglect to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth, yea, I think in me, as long as I am in the tabernacle to stir up you by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I endeavor that ye may be able to, after my decease, to have things always in remembrance, for we have not followed cunningly devised fable, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father, honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And of course, it goes on and on. But look, he's saying, look, at this point, I want to remind you and keep you stirred up in these things. You've been partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world that is through lust. And listen to this. All of these things, when you add them to your faith, it says, look, if you lack these things, you're blind, and you can't see afar off because you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sin. Why? And you're not established in righteousness. This is a teaching that I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to concentrate on in the coming decades. We need to learn how to preach to a community of righteousness that is established in righteousness. And we have conditioned our communication of the gospel solely for the sake of the unrighteous. That when it comes to people existing righteous, we can't preach out of the grace that keeps us from falling. They're saving grace and establish righteousness. We're going to have more on the next lesson. I'm just beginning this teaching. You haven't heard nothing yet. But tonight, I believe that the foundation was laid for you to understand that this is not only a prophetic declaration, but this is intended for this dispensation through manifestation. God bless you tonight. I thank you, Lord. I'm so filled in the Spirit, have a sensing of accomplishing the task that you set before me tonight. And I believe it's imperative for every minister of the gospel to download this, do whatever it takes to get this teaching. This error needs to awaken to this reality of perfection. I talked about perfection in the last lesson in the Ministry Perfecting Institute, and I would encourage you to get both teachings, established in righteousness and this teaching. Because I know that if you understand this, your churches will never be the same. It will be easy for God to come and do his thing. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that lives within you than he that's within the world. This is LaVon Brill, founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, host of Rhema Remnant Radio. Thank you for listening to tonight. I'll see you on Thursday at 10, and I'll continue on at being established in righteousness and giving you a little more meat for the matter. God bless you and good night.